You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
So tell me a little bit about Johnny Wolf. What do you do? What's your company? How did you land on this podcast? Give us a little bit of a background story.
Sure. Yeah. So I started my career in the Silicon Valley in 2007, bought my first real estate investment in 2008 in Texas, mm-hmm. out of state, and then bought a couple more while I was working for startups and Silicon Valley tech companies. Moved to Austin in 2015 to invest in real estate more earnest and bought a number of properties in Austin and rented them out by the room, which is how I had lived when I was in the Bay Area because it's extremely expensive. Then I moved to Kansas City and started to do the exact same thing, bought properties, turned them into roommate houses, and just thought there had to be kind of a more elegant, larger scale way of offering really cool roommate living experiences to people kind of throughout the entire United States. So started Homeroom in 2018. This year we're growing about 400% per year. We're in Dallas, right. Kansas City, Austin, and we're expanding to San Antonio right now.
So perfect. So let's dive into that a little bit. So for those of y'all that are watching and listening, if you're not in real estate all the time, what Johnny's referencing is sometimes referred to as house hacking. But for many people, it starts off with where you lived in college, because for a lot of us, somebody's dad bought a house, put locks on all the bedrooms, and then rented out the rooms in the house. And it's an elegant solution to the housing shortage, but it's not just the housing shortage. It works for single people who are working long hours, people who are contract workers, they travel, they just need somewhere to lay their head at night, or frankly, as budgets need to be looked at because expenses continue to go up. And of course, now we've got the insane rise of inflation, which is really pressuring people's dollars. It is definitely the hot spot when it comes to real estate investing. And as investors, this is one of the major keys to cash flow. So I'm very curious, Johnny, about had the foresight to do it, right? So you moved to Austin before a lot of your peers did. And I get tickled now because, you know, we're recording this in August of 21. And I get calls in North Carolina from California people who are trying to not be the last one out. And so in 2015, you were an early adopter to move to the Austin area and get involved in a growth market, and same thing by moving to Kansas City. So what were you looking for when you made those choices, and what drew you to those two marketplaces?
Yeah, so my background is in finance, corporate financial planning analysis. I do a lot of financial modeling. So Excel is my favorite thing. So I did a lot of different modeling on different markets and tried to figure out what was driving appreciation. And the things that I zeroed in on were specifically income growth and population growth. There's another factor: if investor interest rises, that can actually drive prices as demand can't meet all the demand, or as supply can't meet all the demand. But Austin stood out in 2015 and 2014 as like the number one option, I thought. There's often a refrain, especially with markets like Austin. We actually are still there today and we help people buy there. And they say, is it too late to buy? And our thing is always like, it's the same as with a stock. If it's a great company, has great leadership team, a great product, it's not too late because it'll probably continue to go just as well as it has been going. And that's how I feel. We feel about Austin today. That's how I felt about Austin in 2015, is that massive growth, really good income was increasing rapidly. And it just felt like the prices were just really low. The first duplex I bought when I moved to Austin was $288,000. And it's worth more than that today. It's like in the city limits. So I just think investing in good assets, stocks, whatever you're going to do, real estate is always just a good idea. So I was really looking at those core kind of demographics and how that was changing. The other piece with Kansas City is, one thing about Austin is it's not a great cash flow market. So personally, I owned at that point a number of properties, and I was trying to balance with something that was a bit more stable, a bit more appreciation or cash flow focused, to have my portfolio have a little bit of both. And so that's why I moved to Kansas City. I thought it was the best cash flow market at the time. Appreciation was going to be okay, but it's just, Kansas City has been super stable. Prices have only gone down like once in 50 years. So I was just like, that's a good pairing with my Austin properties, so that the cash flow from one can kind of offset not such great cash flow from the other.
Well, and it's kind of like when you're looking at a stock portfolio, there are some stocks that are there for the growth that don't generate cash. And there are some that are just stable and steady. So I refer to markets like Kansas City as blue chip markets. When the market, the overall market hits a hiccup, they don't go down as far as a hot market does. And a great example would be Phoenix, which was wildly escalating. Then the recession hit and they wildly went downhill. Mm-hmm. And in that same time frame, Kansas City's just trucking up. And then the market went down, they kind of trucked down a little bit. And then it recovered and they trucked back up. And of course, they've accelerated like the pretty much all the U.S. markets have in the last 18 months. But it's a different level. And that frankly hits different investors in different places and their risk and reward comfort zone. And you've mentioned you've got kind of two different personalities when it comes to investment, but you're balancing that with your spreadsheet. And can I just tell you, you're the first person I've ever met who loves Excel. I mean, people know how to use it and they find it to be a good tool, but you said you love Excel. So let me just point that out as one of the things that should be on Johnny's LinkedIn, that he loves Excel, because that's weird. But anyway, so let's talk about house hacking. How did you?
Yeah, I don't know. There's like, I'd say about like 1 in 50,000 people are on that same.
I think that's pretty optimistic. I think it's 1 in 500,000. Okay, so anyway, back to house hacking. So tell us again the story of how you first became that roommate mindset of expanding the cash flow in a house. Was that because you had that living experience in the Bay Area? Is that where it came from? And did somebody tell you about it, or did you hatch the plan?
Yeah, my initial purchase was 2008, was just like a single family. There was not a house hack, but it was my first. It was like, it was back in the day when you could do 10% down for an investment property. I bought it for $90,000.
Oh, I miss those days.
Yeah, I miss those days too. I bought it and, you know, just kind of watch the performance. I don't think I probably could have put in more effort and time and researching and thinking about it, but I was like, I want to learn how to do this. So I moved pretty quickly on that first property. And so over the years, I kind of watched it perform and learned. And in the meantime, while I was holding that property, and then I bought a couple more, I was living with roommates in the Bay Area from 2007 to 2015. You can't really let, you know, a house in the Bay Area rents for $5,000. I lived in a room for $1,600 at one point.
A room. So, did you say a room for $1,600?
Yeah, a room. That wasn't even a nice one. So it's just very expensive. So everyone lives with roommates in the Bay before they, you almost have to, you can be a Google software engineer, but then you have to marry like a director of HR at Facebook. And then you two together may be able to buy a house because, you know, you're starting at a million. So you almost have to marry for money just to buy a house in the Bay Area. So at 2015, I kind of realized like, that's not how I wanted to really live my life. I didn't want to like never be able to buy a house, or I have to be very focused on that. So when I moved to, been living with roommates for 8 years after college. And then when I moved to Austin, I just thought that would be the natural progression. I just wanted to have roommates so I could have friends. And then I realized I was making 40% more rent than if I rented it by myself. So that was kind of the progression. Definitely learned about it through, you know, Bigger Pockets talks about the house hack. I always go on Bigger Pockets. People ask what their first investment should be. And I just say like house hack. And then I just like go to the next thread. Like, cause I always think no matter where you live in the United States, the 3.5% down loan with low interest rate in which people are helping pay for your mortgage is like by far, bar none, the absolute number one investment in probably the United States at any asset class. You can even do it a little bit better. What I did when I bought the duplex in Austin is I used a down payment assistance program. So I actually paid $0 out of pocket when I bought that $288,000 duplex. So there was actually no money out of pocket. It appraised higher than what I bought it for. It was just a magical. Everyone has like occasional magical deals. I've definitely had my fair share of bad ones too. But that is, I think, the number one thing I'd encourage anyone to do. Be a little bit more uncomfortable, especially early in your investment life. Buy and house hack everything you can.
No, and it's such an underutilized tool. And the duplex is your original house hack, right? So that's always been eligible for FHA financing, which is your credit score can be one click below perfect and you've got a little bit less down payment. And then when you've got a tenant in the other side, on the other side of the wall, so it's not like you even have to cross paths in the kitchen, they're almost going to offset the whole mortgage payment in many marketplaces. And it's been that way for decades. But I find that a lot of realtor professionals, they get so in that groove of you're a buyer, here's a house, you're a buyer, here's a house. They forget that there's this whole buffet out there that's almost Golden Corral big of the different ways you can make real estate work for you. And once your eyes are open to that, it's hard to go back. So I got to ask you, was it hard for you to ever buy a single family house for you to live in with no roommates because you were so used to cash flow? Was that a transition period or did you fall?
I haven't made that transition. I haven't made that transition. I'm living in one of our co-living properties that I bought today.
Oh, it's because you're scared of marrying an HR manager. Just don't marry an HR manager.
I have a very lovely girlfriend. She's a preschool teacher. She lives with me in our co-living house we have a master bedroom. I think she would definitely prefer that we eventually do that. But when you look at the amount of net worth you gain just by living with roommates, if you own the property, it's like $3,000 or $4,000 a month. It's pretty absurd.
But one day she's going to want to get married and have babies and she's going to want to have some privacy. So just plan for that, Johnny. Just plan for it.
We'll figure that out. We'll figure that out. No, yeah, she's been pretty patiently clear about that expectation.
Well, so. She's a preschool teacher. She's good with patience, but she's also going to at some point have that rain and you'll be a better man for it. Okay, so back to the investor side of this. When you do give that advice, and by the way, y'all, the Bigger Pockets podcast, if you're interested in investing, is fantastic. And there's so many starter points there. And a lot of times real estate investing can feel too big and can feel too unapproachable. And in a market, we're recording this in August of 21. So in a market like this, where it's still very strong, it's not a buyer's market, you're not going to steal a house. We always tell you to buy it right, but sometimes it's just about buying it. And that's where you have to figure out where do you start. So Johnny, where do you tell people to start when they're thinking about the process? Do you start by finding a property manager? Do you start by finding out what the rents are in an area? Where are the first steps? Is it money, finances, credit score? What is it?
I think we like to talk to our investors and say, what are your personal goals for investing in real estate? I think that's got to be number one. You want to align there first. So we have a lot of people that are kind of like bought into the cash flow, passive income dream. Other people are looking for diversification. Other people are looking for appreciation. We like to be pretty realistic about all three and say, hey, really, real estate is the most powerful tool for appreciation out there, in our opinion. For cash flow, you're going to have to stack a lot of properties. That's a little bit harder. That's been heavily marketed, but it's not really as cut and dry as people make it sound. You're not going to be able to retire in 5 years from just buying cash flowing properties. It's very unlikely. And then we talk about diversification. And then what does that mean? Like, are you trying to diversify from something very risky like cryptocurrency? Well, then maybe a very stable market, like a blue chip market like KC is perfect. Are you trying to diversify from bonds? You want more aggressiveness? Go to Austin. So that's our first step in our process. So we're always trying to identify what their goal is and where they're trying to get. From there, we're going to try to help them think about a market. And so we're in multiple markets so they can kind of think through that process. And each market has its own flavor and return kind of expectations. KC is more cash flow feeling. Austin is almost no cash flow, but really heavy appreciation. I assume that you're in North Carolina. What city are you in?
I'm in Charlotte.
Charlotte. Okay. So you guys are, I think you're close to like a Dallas type market, 350, pretty expensive, some appreciation.
But I will say, I find we've got very good appreciation here, very good job market. North Carolina is right behind Texas for job growth and for companies landing here. But I like the suburbs and the exurbs for investing because I've discovered that in the middle of the city, the numbers don't always work because you're dealing with city taxes. You're dealing with sometimes regulatory overload from elected officials that need to collect more as much money as possible. Then you go to the suburbs. And then you go to, especially to the exurbs. I'm a big fan of the exurbs right now because flexibility of work from home. There are a lot of people that will drive a couple extra minutes. And so that's providing some new value spots that didn't really exist a couple of years ago.
Interesting. I've actually never heard the term exurbs before, but I like it. I like
suburbs
it.
Plus one.
Okay. Gotcha. Nice. And we generally don't have folks go in the city center. I think to your point, it's like you can kind of grab the appreciation of the metro if you go kind of out a layer or two. So I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, so that's really how we think about it. I do think partner, if you're going to choose, I think your partner is the most important. And so ideally you could get someone that's a real estate agent and a property manager and they're good at both. Those are kind of rare. So I think it's the real estate agent and the property manager together are probably like your should be your top priorities.
So how do you pick a real estate agent if you're going to a new market? You know way too much, and you know that many real estate professionals know way too little, and we won't say all. There's just a very wide gap between the ones who are highly educated on items like you're talking about and the ones that have no clue about it. So let's say you decide to go buy property in Des Moines, Iowa. Let's say you're going to go one state over from Kansas. Iowa is obviously a big growth market, which is kind of hilarious to anybody who's ever lived there like me. So you're going to go find a realtor. What are the questions you're going to ask that person? How do you separate the wheat from the chaff?
If for an investment property specifically, I really like to see if they own investment properties. I think that's one of the first things. And then I like can kind of ask some basic questions about how they think about investing. I think the more knowledge you have, the more you can vet someone. But I would ask how they think about appreciation, how they think about neighborhoods. Do they think that appreciation happens hyperlocally at like a certain neighborhood, or do they think about it in a bigger area? Those are things that I kind of study. So it's important for me to think how they're understand how they approach that. The other piece is how do they think about cash flow versus appreciation when they're trying to prioritize? And then I think it's just how gritty and creative they can be. And if they have good connections locally, that can be a nice plus as well. So agents that have been established for a few years will have some access to the occasional off-market deal. I used to think the off-market deal was like the be-all, end-all, like the holy grail of investing. Generally, it's maybe not that much better than the on-market deal. There's usually a little bit more hair on it in terms of like condition or something like that. But yeah, I'd say you want someone that's been in the market for probably at least a year, at least done 10 deals. But I would probably say 20 to 50 is better, and then owns a few pieces of real estate themselves.
I love that you point that out, that the off-market deals usually have, there's a reason they're off-market. And especially in a market like this, a house can be a total dog and still sell because we just have a low level of inventory based on the demand that's out there. Okay, so your new investor has found a realtor in their market. How much money do they need down when they're house hacking? Are the loans different if you're looking at it in this way? Do they need to look at hard money? Are they paying cash, or do you have strategies for that?
If, and so just to kind of clarify, house hacking typically is you live in it. Are you talking about the person would be buying a real estate investment in Iowa and moving there? Or would they be buying an Iowa investment property remotely?
Let's say both, with two different scenarios. Let's say it's the first time buyer who's interested in this roommate style living that you're currently doing yourself. Mm-hmm. And that same person who's done that for a minute and now they want to be just like Johnny and buy something in another market, but they want two rooms and do that roommate style, but they don't want to live in it personally.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect. So if you're going to live that move in yourself, you have a number of different loan options. There's a lot of them. And the FHA 3.5% down is probably the one I'd go with. And I'd really make sure you research down payment assistance programs in the city, because some of the times they'll be per city, some of the times they'll be per county, sometimes the state will have it. But a lot of the times, if it's your first home and you think about that before you kind of select a neighborhood, you can target a neighborhood that you have the most generous package for down payment assistance. For me, the one that I had in Austin, fully forgivable, never have to pay it back. They don't track it. So they gave me $10,000 for free. I didn't have to bring a single dollar. I would almost say like
government money.
Yeah, no, it's really great. It was Texas's money. So that would be something I would really consider, because $10,000 is $10,000. But yeah, the FHA loan paired with the down payment assistance. There's also other conventional loans. There's a 3% down conventional loan. There's a 5% down conventional loan. All of those will come with PMI, all the ones I just described. I'd highly recommend not worrying about that. It's like $85, $100. It's not a big deal. Your roommates are going to help you pay for it. Yeah. And so then I would move pretty aggressively once you figure out your mortgage loan, you figure out kind of the areas you like. I would generally buy a little bit. I think newer investors tend to float up the market to nicer homes, which is cool, but cash flow gets a lot tighter. So I would generally try to stay B minus. Don't let yourself get sucked into the glamour home. It's just not quite as good of a, and not as sustainable as an investment.
And let me add in here real quickly, for those of y'all that aren't familiar, when we say B minus, we're talking about the house that needs some carpet, some paint, maybe some countertops, maybe some light fixtures. We're not talking about the foundation is falling in and there's water in the crawl space and it's a hot mess. That's going to be a CC minus. So yeah. When we look at real estate, an A is going to be move-in condition, a B, I mean, move in, but it needs some updates. C is going to need repair work. And so in the business, we often refer to that B property as a value add, because when you do the things like fixtures, countertops, carpet, and paint, you're adding value back to the property. And especially in the investment side, you're going to have a much easier time finding roommates and tenants when the house is all cutened up. And that's part of why the luxury vinyl plank market has exploded and LVP has shown up to replace carpet in a lot of places. I'll also add in one more thing before I turn it back over. When you're interviewing realtors and you want to talk about investments and what their viewpoint is and finding out, you know, what's their risk tolerance, what's their preference, ask about their experience with down payment assistance programs, because not all realtors are educated on that piece of the market. And as Johnny's just pointed out, if it's there and you can take advantage of it and you're going to stay put in that house, why wouldn't you take advantage of it? It's there to help create more occupancy situations with owners, because any community tends to do better when there's an owner occupant. And when you're looking at the roommate house hacking situation, you're living there. And yes, you do have rooms rented out, so you're also an investor, but you're almost the best of both worlds because you're totally vested. So I had to toss that in there with your questions, but carry on with where do we go next steps with this purchase?
Yeah. And you know, I think it's definitely important to have agents that are comfortable with FHA loans, low down payment loans as well. You know, it has been hard over the last few months to get properties with those loans, but most agents, especially if it's like your first property, they're pretty happy to kind of work with you and they'll keep working with you until you get that offer landed. It just takes some time. So if you're going to buy out of state, kind of transitioning to that concept, and that's really what Homeroom does. That's our specialty. Like that's, we work with investors every day to basically identify the right kind of market for them based on what they're looking for. And then we'll identify specific homes that are ideal for co-living. We find that homes that can add a bedroom or two end up being really the best. And so we can increase rent, and a property may rent for $1,500 as a single family, but we can rent it for $2,700 when we have the right amount of bedrooms. So we'll identify those type of properties for the investor. And so those will be one of the cool things that we've discovered over the last 3 years is that there's a lot more roommate demand everywhere in a metro. It's not just in the downtown area. It's not just near a university, which are the first kind of two places people think about. But it's actually, we have some in Olathe, Kansas. We have some in Shawnee, Kansas. Our Olathe house got pre-booked before it was launched. Like all the rooms were filled. And that's like 50 minutes outside of downtown Kansas City. So it's really just identifying properties that are in these B kind of neighborhoods that have value add potential, price points, 250 to 300. But then we're able to get just a really nice amount of rent, adding bedrooms. And we have the investors furnish the common areas, sort of like an Airbnb, but the rooms are furnished by the tenants. But yeah, it's been a really nice investment. We've had a number of people that their return on investment was really crazy over the last 2 years because of the last 6 months, everything's exploded. But even people that got in after, they're seeing really nice kind of returns. So I guess it's less of a active mode than you would be in if you were going to buy your own property in your own city. With this, we actually kind of put you, we partner you with an agent. They'll identify the properties that will work. There may be two or three per week, and then you can kind of pick and choose from those.
Do you know, I hadn't even thought about the common area till you mentioned it. So on average, what are your investors having to spend to furnish something that will hold up with the changing of roommates? Is it, you got a couch and a TV and a end table and a breakfast table and some bar stools? Who outfits the kitchen? Do y'all outfit the kitchen?
We do it, but the investor will pay for it. So the entire co-living kind of upgrade package is $5,000. So
that's not bad.
So it's the kitchen essential. So like forks, knives, and then we have couches and chairs in the living room. And then we have a dining room. Then it also includes smart home technology. So smart lock, smart thermostat, smart TV.
That's really important too. So mm-hmm. Is that how you're able to control access and control utilities through using smart technology?
Yep. It's really changing the game for property managers and single family homes is like the Rently smart lock, the Rently thermostat, where you can kind of look at everything. And so we can diagnose an HVAC issue like online, or we can issue a code for a new tenant online. And so they get that a minute after they pay their deposit, and then it activates the day they move in. So very similar to the way an apartment building works. So we're able to be like pretty much, we have local property service teams. Our general team, our leasing team is actually fully remote.
It reminds me of, there's a place that I visited in South Carolina where it had one of those locks on the thermostat, the old school, it turns yellow all the time, and they had a post-it note on it. And the guy had drawn a skull and crossbones. And it said DNFW. And I guess if you had a smart thermostat that you could control, you wouldn't have to put a post-it note in a lockbox on the thermostat that says DNFW. If you don't know what that means, then go look it up. I'm not saying it out loud, but you know what it means, Johnny. But it was hilarious. And it makes me realize that there's so many different ways to utilize the tools that are out there if you just think slightly outside the box. We're not talking wildly outside the box, but just enough that it creates a new opportunity for you to have some financial freedom in the future. So, Johnny, if somebody wants to learn more about what you guys are doing at Homeroom, how the program works, they want to ask some questions and get involved, what's the best way for them to find you?
Yeah, so our website is livehomeroom.com, L-I-V-E homeroom.com. And they can reach out to me at johnny@livehomeroom. I'm pretty responsive by email.
And don't be stressed out. We know y'all didn't listen or write any of that down because you were sitting there thinking, how am I going to change all my cash flow? So go to the show notes, click, 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 email, go to social handles, go to the website, get some information and reach out to Johnny. Because remember, your financial future is not going to change if you keep doing the same thing you've always done. If you're ready to have some ownership for your life and you're not really wanting to rely on Social Security, go learn about real estate. It's not as scary as you might think. Somebody like Johnny can walk you through. And then if y'all are nice, you can walk him through what it's like to listen to his preschool girlfriend get her married off by her house. They can have some kids. I'm just saying. Repopulate the country with smart entrepreneurs. Johnny, it's a good thing to do. But thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate you sharing some expertise and excited to see what you guys are going to do next.
Yeah, I really enjoyed being here. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, guys, share this with a friend, especially if your friend needs some investing advice and maybe they're a little chicken to buy their first house. Share this episode, give us 5 stars and a review, and most importantly, come back and see me next time. As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram @LeeThomasBrown or tweet me @LeeBrown or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.